Good morning and greetings this morning in the name of Jesus. Glad to be here, part of this worship service, and be able to communicate together in spiritual things and in the scriptures. Certainly, God has blessed us with so many things spiritually that we can benefit from, and we certainly thank the Lord for that. Just the thought in relation to the Sunday school lesson, in relation to judging, I remember, I'm not sure how old I was as a young man. I think maybe it was after I was ordained, maybe, but there was a brother, very sincere brother, one time made the comment that he was talking to a neighbor man. And he told the neighbor man, he said, with the life you're living, he said, you are going to hell. And I remember there was one of our older bishop brethren was present there. And I'll never forget this because it was a kind of an eye-opener to me. And this older bishop brother said, I don't think you should say that. He said, maybe you could say that, you know, if he continues to live in sin, you know, that there's judgment coming. But he said, I think we always have to remember only God can consign someone to hell. You know, as men, we never can do that. Only God does that. And I was just thinking that in relation to the Sunday school lesson this morning, in relation to judgment. Yes, we preach the truth and we preach eternal judgment, and we talked about that in our Sunday school lesson. And we know that those who live in sin will finally find their place in hell. But it's God that will consign them there. And we don't have that. We preach the truth. We preach the gospel. Salvation. We preach judgment to come. But let's be careful in our judgment. I'd like this morning to... we're going to be talking about something that I've sort of concluded is probably one of the most misunderstood things in society and in the church. One of the most misunderstood things in society and in the church. I'm not going to do a guessing game because it'd take too long to probably sort that out. But turn with me this morning to John chapter 8, verse 22. I'd like to this morning think for a little while about the freedom of truth. The freedom of truth. John 8:32. Jesus here is speaking, and we're going to read the surrounding verses here in a few minutes. And in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come to you again this morning to beseech your Holy Spirit power in our thoughts, in our words, as we share in this scripture today. Help us, Father, to understand what the meaning of this is in our own lives personally. May nothing be said that is not according to truth. May your truth come through in this scripture, in our thoughts, and may we understand, Father, the freedom that you give us through truth. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen. The freedom of truth. All of us this morning, whether we're conscious of it or not, are in pursuit of freedom to one level or another. It's part of built into our nature. Now, how many of you recognize that? Have you ever thought about that? The desire for freedom. Okay. So, have you ever wished or thought about, you know, the idea that wouldn't it be nice to live in a world where we could just be free to do what we wanted? be free to do what we wanted. Or let me ask it this way. Have you ever struggled with something that you wish that you did not have to do, and you wish you could be free from having to do this thing? You understand what I'm talking about? Freedom. Why do individuals, people in North Korea, risk their lives, risk getting shot at or killed, but shot at, trying to cross the border from North Korea into China, which happens every day? Why do they do that? Freedom. They're searching for freedom. You cannot, you know, there's evil dictatorships and regimes of the world that try to contain people, to control them. But ultimately, it's impossible to contain the human spirit, you know, in those types of situations. There's always this, the push. I forget what year it was. Maybe one of you remember what year it was that the Berlin Wall came down. I still remember watching, seeing some of that happen, pictures of that. You know, that which had stood there for decades, it came down. The jubilant crowds standing on top of those broken, that broken stone masonry, shouting, the wall came down. Freedom. It's built into us by God. It's part of our nature. You say, well, the fall of nature sure makes a lot of problems. And it does. But we're going to be talking about this morning, the freedom of truth. All right, let's look here at this passage. We're going to back up to verse 12. We know that in the beginning of this chapter, we have Jesus there where the Jews brought to him the woman taken in adultery. And we have in verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself, this is after he wrote on the ground the second time, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? In other words, nobody started throwing stones, throwing rocks to condemn her. And she said, No man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You talk about freedom. But she could have been stoned to death for her crime. And Jesus said, Now you go. And just don't sin anymore. You stay free. Stay free. Now, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, and we're going to read through this passage. I'm actually going to read all the way to the end of it, of the chapter in verse 59. So it's a lengthy passage. But as we're reading this, concentrate on what Jesus was talking about in relation to truth. This whole idea of truth and freedom comes up continuously throughout this whole passage. And we want to notice that. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so you're going to walk in light. That's freedom, right? You're not walking in darkness. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Talking about truth again. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, truth. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come or and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. As it is also written in your law, that the testimony of true men of two men is true. Again, truth. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus unto them, again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins, whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Notice again, truth there. Jesus said that he has heard truth from his Father. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father, in other words, the heavenly Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. In other words, they would know the truth, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he saith, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, but I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. In other words, he said, what do you mean? We're free. We were never in bondage. We're Abraham's seed. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen of your father, with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, and here is a statement of truth again, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Physically, genetically, they were the children of Abraham, but what Jesus was saying is, you're not the spiritual children of Abraham. If you were the spiritual children of Abraham, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you what? The truth. He said, I've told you the truth. And they're trying to kill him because he told them the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And that was a slam against Christ, as if he was born of fornication. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh it of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Notice the contrast. Jesus saying that truth is of God, his Father, and he only can speak truth, versus the devil, who he says is the father of lies. He can only speak lies. He cannot ever speak the truth because there's no truth in him. You have the two opposing kingdoms of the world there. It stands out. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, If a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. When Jesus made that last statement, before Abraham was, I am, he declared himself to be the I am, all the way back into the Old Testament, the eternal one, the eternal God. And that's why they took up stones to cast at him. Throughout this whole passage now, you see this whole thing of truth and the acknowledgement of truth. And Jesus said that they were hating him and wanted to kill him because they didn't like the truth. The truth ran counter to their own agenda. The truth ran counter to their way of life. The truth ran counter to their position. And that is what offended them. I would like to think for a little bit now of the basis of truth. All truth comes from one source. It is the eternal God is the source of all truth. And so this morning, that is the foundation in relation to all that we know to be true. Someone says, well, I'm telling you the truth. And hopefully it is the truth, but sometimes it may not be the truth. Even though in our best intentions, we try to convey the truth. But absolute truth rests with God. It is absolute. And so that is the basis of all truth. Now, I'd like to think for a bit about this whole struggle for freedom. I made the statement in the beginning that is one of the most misunderstood things in society and in the church in relation to where true freedom is found. And the struggle for freedom is something that we all have to deal with at times. I'd like to think first now of some wrong concepts of freedom. And one of these is that freedom is in exalting self-expression. Freedom is exalting self-expression. And so you have anarchists who would like to live in a country where there is no law. We call that anarchy. Can you imagine living in a country where there is no law? And would you be free? Would you be free if you lived in a country where there was no law? Can you imagine how that would be? I forget the years. I didn't look this up, but the years back in, I forget, was it the 1950s, 1960s, maybe early 1970s, I forget now, but when in New York City, the entire police force went on strike. Do you think that the city of New York was free during that time, that the entire police force went on strike? The carnage, the pillage, the murder, it was unbelievable what happened. If I remember right, they had to call in the National Guard to restore order. Laws changed so that could never happen again, but was that freedom, you see? Of course not. And also, if you think about the thing of exalting self-expression, and you see this sometimes, whether it's people that, try to figure out, you know, how to get have more, say, tattoos on their body, or wear more hardware on their bodies, or, you know, and as an extreme expression of self, you know what I mean? To be, it's an expression of, in their minds, their own individuality, you see. But is that, but you look at that, and you relate to those people sometimes, are they free? Are they free? No. Another part of this is, in relation to the struggle for freedom and the wrong concept of freedom is that people will say that they would like to live without any rules. But in thinking of this, this is contrary to the existential nature of our universe. Would you like to live in a universe without any rules? Without any laws? So you're flying in an airplane and, you know, suddenly gravity is turned off for a few minutes. Or you're walking, doing something here with your feet on the ground and gravity is turned off for a few minutes. You know, gravity sort of, you know, comes on and off like our hydro does every once in a while. Would you like to live in a universe where, like we talked about in our devotional this morning, the planetary system, there were no laws governing our universe? Can you imagine how that would be? Stars kind of just fly where they want to for a bit. Got some snow this morning. We thought it was maybe going to be spring, but we know spring is coming, and so we take the weather as it is. But can you imagine if suddenly it's just like, okay, I guess there's no summer this year, we're going back to winter. We're going to have winter instead of summer, instead of spring. You see, the whole structure of our universe is based on an element of truth in relation to guidelines and the laws, we call them the laws of nature, that God put into place to make all of this work. And you could talk about all kinds of things related to that. But you and I have a tremendous sense of freedom this morning, sitting here as a Christian. We're not terribly worried about climate change. We're not terribly worried about probably coronavirus, or, it could happen. But I had the flu once or twice this winter, I think. But I'm not trying to necessarily say there's nothing to that. But what I'm saying is that as a Christian, in understanding truth, and understanding, you know, the purposes of God and the sovereignty of God and all of those things, you know, that we can sit here with quite a good sense of freedom. You know, because like we talked about the seasons of the year, you know, the Bible says that seed time and harvest, cold and heat, is going to continue to the end of time. Whether there's going to be some ups and downs, and you want to call that climate change, yes, that may happen, but by and large, it's going to continue to the end of time. I have freedom. You have freedom in resting in the hands of an almighty God who created all this universe. He keeps it all running and very smoothly. And so that is, you think about that aspect of the universe. There's also many times individuals, people are seeking freedom through altered reality. There'd be a lot of things we could talk about in relation to this altered reality, whether it's through alcoholism, drugs, all those things, seeking a sense of freedom through altered reality. There's also Eastern mysticism. Again, we could call it altered reality, whether it's transcendental meditation, yoga, and all those types of things in relation to altered reality. Somehow escape into another reality. Much of the entertainment and the movie industry is built on the premise of presenting a false reality. It's one of the appeals of it. But the error in all of this is that real freedom will never be found through seeking personal freedom. Real freedom will never be found through seeking personal freedom. And this is part of that whole issue, going back to what that misunderstanding is in relation to society, and sometimes we see it in the church and in our own lives. To somehow think that there can be a place or situation of freedom if I seek personal freedom. But Jesus said that's not how it's found. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. And what sets you free? Truth. It's truth that sets us free. And that's true universally across mankind. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That's where freedom really is found. And so often, mankind searches for freedom in all the wrong places and takes them into a terrible bondage. And they lose their freedom more than ever by seeking it and trying to find it in a wrong way. King Solomon makes this whole idea the central theme of the book there in Ecclesiastes. You know, pleasure and freedom. You know, and try to see what he could discover, only to realize that it took him into deeper bondage and despair. The scriptural basis for freedom is knowing truth. It is loving truth. It is living truth. It is seeking truth. And that is the only way any of us will ever find true freedom. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, I would like to think for a little bit about finding freedom through truth, some of the practical parts of this. Knowing the truth about God is first. Honesty with who God is and what he tells us about the condition of the human heart. And so knowing the truth about God, and that's what Jesus was talking about in this chapter. They said, well, you know, we're Abraham's children, you know, or we were never in bondage, and you know, who is your father anyway? And who do you think you are? You know, and they kept throwing those questions at him. He said, "You don't know my father. If you really knew my father, you would know who I am." You know, and they kept, you know, trying to skirt around the fact, you know, of his divinity and who he was as the Messiah, because they didn't want to believe it. They were willingly ignorant. They wanted to be blind to this, because it would have changed their whole life. It would have changed their whole viewpoint of life. And so Jesus here was saying that the only way you're going to understand me, understand who I am as the Messiah, is that you're going to have to understand my Father. And that's true of any of us. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ in our lives today. It's because we know the Father. And we know the Father through Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ. And so it is facing, you know, the honesty of our own hearts with who God is. And the scripture points this out, and we see it all around us today. When you think about scientists, philosophers, and astronomers, you go down the list of men who come face to face with the reality of a divine creator in this universe, and they are willingly ignorant. You know, and they say, well, you know, there was a flood, but we're not sure that, you know, it's not the flood the Bible talked about. It's, you know, it's a flood that, you know, yeah, it's kind of similar, but, and they have all these funny arguments, and they just skirt the fact that there's a divine creator. They're willingly ignorant. And so honesty with who God is only the only path of discovering and knowing truth. And with that, of course, he tells us about the condition of the human heart. We looked at that a lot in our Sunday school lesson. There's also the freedom from the bondage of self. And these are the two main points in relation to freedom through truth, knowing the truth about God, and then knowing the truth about myself, my own heart. That is so important. This really is facing the truth about myself, my own heart, the true condition of my own heart. And it's interesting, you read through this passage like we did here, and all the funny arguments they were giving and how they just try to come this way and just try to trip Christ up and try to show him up for being a fraud. But he just kept coming back again to the element of truth and who he was. And it is interesting, have you ever been amazed at the strange things people do who are running away from truth? You know, we have that story in the book of Jonah. And really, if you would read it just from Jonah's perspective, it would almost be a very humorous story. When you think about Jonah running from truth and the things he did, thinking he could somehow get away from God. And you read through the various accounts in the scriptures and you see the amazing things, the strange things that people have done, and they're running away from truth. And we're not exempt from that. You think about what happens when people are determined not to accept truth in their hearts. Well, there's also the freedom through honest confession. And this relates to this whole idea of freedom from the bondage of self and also knowing the truth about God. Freedom through honest confession. Confession carries with it the idea of telling the truth, right? And so if we make an insincere confession, it's a contradiction. Because an insincere confession is confessing to the truth in a false way. See? It's a total contradiction. So confession carries with it the idea of telling the truth. You don't tell a lie when you really truly confess, right? That honest confession of our hearts is a testimony to the truth. I'm recognizing God as the God of truth, and I'm recognizing what God has said about me in the condition of my own heart, and therefore I'm confessing that. And so in true confession, we don't tell a lie. We tell the truth. Now, when you really and truly confess, of course, you're telling the truth. And telling the truth in confession then has a purification effect upon us. And if you're here this morning, we're here this morning as children of God who have made that supreme confession, as it were, in salvation, that I am a lost sinner. Outside of the grace of God, I'm lost. And to plead for the mercy of God, you know, that kind of honest confession is what brings us to the new birth experience. It brings us to that penitence and in salvation. And so it does have that purification effect upon us. Now, even after we are a Christian, and there's many times in my life, and I'm sure you would say the same, where we've had to make a confession because I failed or we did something wrong and we need to confess something, clear something. Well, that confession has a purification effect upon us. You know how it feels to get that off your chest, as we say. You know, it's cleared. It's gone. We're back in truth again. And we're back in truth again. We're back in freedom again. And you just feel free. Telling the truth in confession also sets us free from the bondage of sin put upon us by our sin. You know, when we do not confess and tell the truth, we put ourselves in a terrible darkness from which there's no escape except by telling the truth. You see, you can't get away from truth. So when we tell a lie or we deceive someone, we're not telling the truth, we're not living the truth, there's no way out of that situation but by telling the truth, which is confession, you see. You can't just let time erase it. You can't just, no, there's no way out of that situation but by telling the truth. And somehow we always like to think there's some way you can sort of manipulate the situation. When we do not confess and tell the truth, we oppose upon our heart, mind, and soul the reality of being in chains that we cannot break except by telling the truth. Again, it shows the supremacy of truth. Confession of truth is liberating. Confession of truth permits us to see, think, act, and believe in the reality of our world. Because we're not living in deception, you see. We're living in truth. Many times, the truth is not easy to confront or easy to speak. We know that. However, our life is so much better when we live and confess the truth. Telling the truth by confessing brings us closer to God. For God is truth, in God there is no darkness. In Jesus, we have someone who will listen to us, who will understand us no matter what we have to say when we're willing to confess the truth. You know, and this morning when you think about that, and his understanding when he says, or the scripture says about Christ, that he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. We can go to him as that mediator in times of temptation, in times of struggle, you know, when we don't want to reckon with the truth maybe in our own hearts, but to realize that Christ is there and he is also the God of truth like his Father, and he accepts us in our sincerity and penitence. Because in God there is no lie, there is no falsehood. In God there is only redeeming and renewing truth that leads us into eternal life. Now, you think about also the active response to truth as it is revealed by the Holy Spirit. You know, there's the Holy Spirit indwelling us is also the God of truth. He will only tell us the truth. The Holy Spirit in our hearts will only tell us the truth. He, part of his work as a comforter, as an advocate, is to keep us in the truth so that we stay free. We stay free. When we do not listen to the voice of the Spirit and refuse that, we start back into bondage again. We start back into the untruth. We're going back into falsehood. But it's the indwelling Holy Spirit that keeps us free, because he keeps us, our hearts and our spirit, our thoughts, aligned with truth. And so when we trip up or we say something that is not the way it should be in our humanity, you know, the Holy Spirit will say, that wasn't right. That wasn't right. It's the mirror. He's the mirror of truth to us. And so by responding to that, we stay free because we're back in truth again. It's not complicated. It's fairly simple. But sometimes the struggle is real. Because sometimes I don't want to do what the Spirit tells me to do. My flesh just doesn't want to cooperate sometimes. And you have to crucify it. So active response to the truth, as it is revealed by the Holy Spirit, is part of us staying free. Also, another part of this is speaking the truth in brotherhood. We think about, you know, we talk about our own lives. But, you know, there is a sense in brotherhood freedom that I believe all of us desire that relates to truth as well. Do you want to be part of a church, part of a brotherhood that's not going to tell you the truth? Would you feel free? You see what I'm saying? Do I like when a brother comes to me and says, well, you know, that wasn't very good. You should, you know, No, it kind of, I have the same nature all of us do. I mean, you know, there's something that kind of rises up sometimes. But do I want to be part of a congregation that would never tell me that and say, you know, never correct me? Never say, I think you're headed the wrong direction here a little bit in your life or some of your decisions or whatever it is? Of course not. That would not be freedom. Now, notice this scripture, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We want to walk in truth. We want to live the truth because we love the truth. And sometimes we get our toes stepped on sometimes because of truth. And brothers and sisters, we need that. I need that. Because I want to stay in the truth. I want brothers and sisters that care enough about me to come to me and tell me when I'm headed into error, because I want to stay free. I want to stay in the truth. We help each other by doing that. A few thoughts in closing, the blessings of this. We talked about this some, but you know, the freedom from self and sin, the freedom from fear. Do you know what it feels like? I know what it feels like to live in a state of fear, being afraid that we're going to get found out. You understand what I'm saying? Isn't that bondage? You know, that if people really knew what was going on in here, then what? But when there's truth, there's freedom in truth, there's an honesty, honest confession if it's needed, I'm free. I just don't have to watch my back. I don't have to worry because I'm living in the truth. Am I perfect? Are we perfect in that state? No, we'll make some mistakes. We fall on our knees and repent of it. Respond to truth. We're free again. Most of all, free to be who God made us to be. And this is part of this whole misunderstanding or wrong, error, heresy, whatever you want to call it. Or somehow people look at Christian living and they look at Christianity and they look at someone surrendered to God and living out their Christian life and they view that as narrow-minded and boring and, you know, they're just don't, you know, kind of simple-minded. That's how society in general looks at a born-again Christian. It makes no sense to them. And the Bible says it's not going to make any sense to them because it's spiritually discerned. We talked about that in another message. But being free to be who God created us to be is the ultimate freedom. And that's why Paul said there in Philippians, I'm pursuing this. I'm trying to lay hold. I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to grasp the meaning and why Jesus Christ laid hold on me. And in searching for that truth in our lives, is what leads us into that kind of freedom. Because, you know, and that is really the motto of our lives, that you and I need to continue to be seekers of truth. Isn't that what it is personally? Why do we go to the scriptures? Why do we pray? Why do we understand, you know, try to understand God and his workings? It's because we are on a pursuit of truth. And that honesty and that pursuit of truth is what gives us that freedom in our lives today. You think of the person, or any of us at times, we say, well, no, I'm going to stop right here. I don't plan to, you know, this is enough of Christianity for me. I'm not going to pursue this anymore. You know, complacent, self-satisfied. No, we can never get to that point if we're going to be lovers of the truth, because there's always more room to grow and develop and understand more of God's truth for us. every single one of us sitting here this morning is consciously or unconsciously seeking freedom in one way or another. We talked about this in the beginning of the message. But the real question then is, are you and I engaged in an honest pursuit of the truth? Honest pursuit of the truth. We gather to worship. We gather to study the scriptures together. It's because we're seeking truth. And we want God to reveal that truth to us so that we can stay free in our lives. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If we go out, any of us goes out to seek freedom for freedom's sake, we will find ourselves in bondage. That's where the world is. Seeking freedom for freedom's sake. But if we go out and we seek truth for truth's sake, guess what? We'll find freedom. So where are you looking for your freedom in your life today? Where are you looking for your freedom? Is it from a selfish perspective, or is it on the basis of truth? Are we free, or are we in bondage? May God help us as we analyze our own hearts, the power of His Holy Spirit. Let's be free indeed. Free in abundance. We can be the happiest, freest people on the face of the earth today because we know truth. Let's kneel to pray.